The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Folks, we got a lot of work to do. I don't even need you to get me elected. I need you once I'm elected.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats, looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow. I'd be fine with that.
And I, like I told Barack, if I reach something where there's a fundamental disagreement we have based on a moral principle, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign.
Well, President-elect Joe Biden.
This is an honor and a privilege, and I love working for President Biden.
We have to do those imminently, more imminently even, to address the full Obama agenda of building back better.
So today, as you all saw just an hour or so ago, President Obama announced that, President Biden.
Pardon me. Never gets old. It's so obvious. It's so obvious what's going on here. I just noticed, by the way, the voter fraud comment that Biden made in October of 2020. Remember the days when we used to play that over and again? It's nice to see it again. But I noticed, as he said, he's got this most extensive voter fraud organization set up, that he said, you did it before with Barack Obama as well. Well, that's interesting. He says the quiet part out loud, and then he says, you know, they did it with Obama too. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream at trumpetdaily.com, and you can also watch the show after the fact there. And don't forget about the Rumble channels. We've got two of them to promote. Our own, of course, just go to Rumble and search for the Trumpet Daily, and you can get to the live stream that comes at you every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone of the United States. You can get involved in the chat. You can leave comments. You can give us the thumbs up. You can subscribe to the page. And then if you miss the show, then head over to LFA TV. That's Live from America TV. We've been on LFA for, I guess, a week, just five programs. The views over there have ranged anywhere between about 7,000 to even as high as 11,000. So hopefully we can keep those numbers up, and that will continue to promote the show on all of our platforms. But we certainly are grateful that we can partner up with the folks over at LFA. A few things to pass along to you. Just as far as announcements go, we've got the General Flynn engagement or event coming up in less than 2 weeks now. That's Monday night, August 21st. He'll be speaking at Armstrong Auditorium at 6 p.m. So, of course, that's here in Edmond, Oklahoma. So if you're anywhere near the central Oklahoma area, go to the link at our website, thetrumpet.com. You can see a little story. I think if you scroll down about halfway, you can see a story about General Flynn. And then it takes you to a page where it says that you can reserve tickets. Tickets are just $25, $15 for children. So very reasonably priced. You'll get to hear from General Flynn. And as I was just discussing with Sam a moment ago, there's quite a lot. Lee Smith's article, we'll go through some of that today on the show, and he's got a section in there about why Oh, why would the dear leader, why would Barack Obama go so hard after General Flynn? Why did he want General Flynn out of the way? And of course, we're 2 years, this is 2 years on, I guess we're a year on from the Mar-a-Lago raid as of today. Leaving that aside, 2 years on this month from the disastrous drawdown in Afghanistan. So with General Flynn coming here in a week and a half, we're going to have quite a lot to talk about. I spoke with his assistant a few days ago, who said that we're working on some of the talking points that we're hoping he can address. But she said that he's also quite good at addressing whatever happens to be topical for that given day or week. So he's very well read. He's a smart man. He's obviously got a lot of history in U.S. military and other things as well. So it's going to be a fascinating discussion. We're hoping to have a Q&A at the end of his speech as well. We'll have some videos and other things that we'll be able to show at that event. So you've got that Monday night, August 21. The night before that, or I guess it's in the afternoon, Sunday afternoon of the 20th, it's the encore performance of Celtic Throne, and we're already past the halfway point in filling up Armstrong Auditorium, so people are coming out yet again. Some are coming from out of the country. I got an email last night from someone who was super excited to be able to see Celtic Throne for the first time live. She's seen it quite often with the live stream, but she is anxious to get here for the live performance. So just go to CelticThrone.com if you'd like to make it a doubleheader, so to speak. See Celtic Throne Sunday afternoon, and then see General Mike Flynn Monday evening. That's August 20th and 21st. So as you've seen from the past couple of shows that we've put together, last week, Friday's show, and then again yesterday, I mean, God is really exposing Barack Hussein Obama. And we've been talking about this ever since they stole the election in 2020. And of course, they're hard at work trying to cover everything up, trying to cover up all of the corruption, all of the lawlessness, the weaponization of the deep state. And it's easy to just get caught up into, you know, the deep state or the swamp. But really, that's a little bit vague. And what Lee Smith does in his article is he goes right to the source. All roads lead to Barack Hussein Obama. He's coming in the spirit of Antiochus, as I've talked to you about in recent programs. But in this article, he put out, I think it's over at Tablet, the title of the piece, Obama's January 5th Conspiracy. We hear all the time about January 6th, 2021, January 6th, January 6th. My father in America Under Attack has drawn attention to January 5th, not in 2021, January 5th, 2017. That's when there was a real coup, a real insurrection. That's when Barack Obama set up Donald Trump and alerted the deep state that he was going to be guiding the operation to persecute Trump, to spy on Trump, to try to destroy Trump. There's not too many people that talk about the January 5th conspiracy from back in 2017. The subhead under the title of Lee Smith's piece, Trump's Problem and America's, isn't the deep state, it's his predecessor. He's the problem. And good for Lee Smith in targeting in on the dear leader. Obama's the problem. It's not the deep state. The deep state's a problem too. But Obama's the one that's presiding over it. Obama's the one that's calling the shots. He's the one that's running the presidency from the basement, as he said there jokingly at the end of 2020. But look at how this has played out. We've been saying this for years. He's running his third term. It's not legitimate. They stole the election. They had this extensive voter fraud system in place, as Joe Biden inadvertently said, right before the election in 2020. In this morning's morning brief, Richard Palmer, our very own Richard Palmer, he says, Obama's January 5 conspiracy is the title of a new article by Lee Smith on a key meeting President Obama held on January 5th, 2017. It's a meeting Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury has often focused on. These highest officials, led by Obama, were strategizing about how to continue, this is a quote from my father, how to continue an illegal investigation on the next sitting president, who would be their own boss. So Obama was on the way out, but, you know, Comey was going to stay there. Of course, there's always the changeover with the new positions that the new president appoints. But still, some of them, there was some overlap with Yates and with Comey and others. And Trump was about to be their boss. And yet here was Obama plotting against their new boss, plotting against Donald Trump. That was a quote, by the way, from America Under Attack. If you don't have this book, I know I refer to it almost on every show, but it's worth giving an extra plug here. As I say, as Richard brings out in his Trumpet brief, there's not that many people that zero in on that January 5 meeting. We've been talking about it for years. It's 1-866. This is the 800 number, 930-3024. Call our operators today and request America Under Attack. Smith said that President Obama was proud of this. Proud of this. Obama wasn't trying to cover up his role, wrote Smith. He wanted his national security advisor to get it on the record that he'd turned Russiagate into an instrument to undermine his successor. His assistant, Susan Rice, she wrote the email, remember, right around that same time period. Everything Obama did, just buy the book. Just buy the book. And as Smith brings out, that's not necessarily meant to cover up what they were doing. It was a signal that this man was running the operation. This man was running the rolling soft coup that would continue for years. It says this continued with the Washington Post piece last week about that article. Smith wrote, Obama used the bureaucracy's hometown paper to announce to the Democratic Party's elite base that he's still in charge of the anti-Trump plot. He's got this. He's leading from behind. That's a reference to the Washington Post piece from last week, where Obama, I guess in June, had lunch at the White House, talked with the fake president about the next election cycle and how they were going to try to take down Trump. The Washington Post comes out with the big reveal, and this, of course, this is the nation's capital paper, the Democrat talking points, basically. And that was meant to announce that Obama's still around. He's still in D.C. He's got this. Don't you worry. We've got the dear leader. I'll talk to you later on in this segment about Joe Biden's plummeting numbers. You think they're going to win on the strength of Joe Biden's record or his campaign ability? They had him in the basement last time. It says here, Obama needs his people to know that he's running the show, like that day at the White House when he made sure the cameras were rolling, when he ignored Biden, the presidential avatar. He just ignored him. You remember that some months ago. Biden. Biden was just wandering around, and Obama is just blowing him off, basically. He was the big celebrity that day, Barack Obama, the dear leader. If he shows up in the White House, that's a big event, because that's the puppet master. One final paragraph. Richard's quoting from Lee Smith. It was easier to source what was happening in America to the deep state, a sprawling assemblage of faceless bureaucrats who move as one to protect its institutional privileges and preferences. It's just easy to look at the deep state. And, you know, really, even Donald Trump would do well to read this particular essay, because he often does talk about the swamp and the deep state and so on. But every once in a while, he goes right for the dear leader. But maybe not often, not as often as he could. This book starts off with the swooning media and then the roots, Barack Obama's roots. It actually vets Barack Obama, something that the regime media never did. Never did, to this day. I mean, some of it is coming out. I've gone through that tablet piece from last week. that these two left wingers basically exposing Obama as a total fraud. And then here comes Lee Smith this week writing about Obama's January 5 conspiracy. His conspiracy, his coup, his insurrection. I'll quote from Lee Smith now. It says, Obama knew that the Bureau's investigation was phony from the outset. CIA Director John Brennan had told him days before the FBI opened its Trump probe that the story tying the Republican candidate to Russia was a Hillary Clinton campaign ploy to vilify her opponent. Brennan told him, this goes back to, what was it, July or August of 2016? Brennan told him, yeah, all of this Russia collusion hoax, all of this Russia collusion, it's from the Hillary campaign, and they're trying to smear Donald Trump. There's no truth to it. Obama knew. And yet that's what Obama used to go after Trump after he beat Hillary, to unlock that secret intelligence assessment, where they hurriedly, Brennan and company, hurriedly rushed together the assessment, I think in about a month's time, and found out, lo and behold, that Russia helped Donald Trump to win. So Trump actually was colluding with Putin. It says here from Lee Smith, and that's the crux of the issue. Rice's January 5 memo documented how after the election, the outgoing president credentialed a dirty trick with White House authority and took control of it. It says Obama wasn't trying to cover up his role. He wanted his national security advisor, this was in Richard's trumpet brief, he wanted the national security advisor, Susan Rice, to get it on the record that he'd turned Russiagate into an instrument to undermine his successor. It says finally, the next day, Brennan did the same on Obama's behalf, validating Russiagate with the outgoing president's official imprimatur. There's a section in here, by the way, on why he went hard after Mike Flynn. Of course, Mike Flynn, he was right in step with the national security apparatus. He knew how everything worked, and he would have exposed all of these frauds, this hoax, this coup attempt for what it was. So that's why Obama, during that transition, that critical transition period, late 2016, early 2017, you had Obama basically warning Trump about the North Korean dictator and then Mike Flynn, of all things, the three-star general that worked for the U.S. military. Those were the big threats, the way the dear leader saw it. Kim Jong-un and Michael Flynn. This is from the Lee Smith piece. It says, why was he so determined to destroy Michael Flynn? Even as he warned Trump not to hire Flynn, he made the retired three-star general a special focus of attention in the January 5 meeting. This is all part of the January 5 conspiracy. According to Rice's memo, President Obama asked if Comey was saying that the National Security Council should not pass sensitive information related to Russia to Flynn. Flynn was developing, he was working with the transition team about to come into office as President Trump's Director of National Intelligence. And they wanted to keep information from him. They weren't working with them. Remember how Obama, all the smooth words after Trump shocked the world, and he said, look, the U.S. is always known for smooth transitions. This is going to be a peaceful transition to the next president. He lied. He was working behind the scenes to destroy Trump. And he did destroy Flynn's career, at least in government. It says here, in May 2020, Obama leaked a phone call in which he complained that because the DOJ dropped charges against Flynn, the rule of law was at risk. It says, in fact, it was Obama himself who'd undermined the rule of law to satisfy a vendetta against Flynn. You know the story about, you might know some of the details. Flynn pled guilty, he had bad lawyers, and then he got another attorney who came in, he withdrew those pleas, and then Bill Barr, finally, after a couple of years, 2-3 years of harassment and persecution, Bill Barr finally drops the case against General Flynn. And then you had that radical judge that wouldn't drop the charges. He wanted to keep the trial going even after the DOJ dropped the case. Just because he wanted to persecute this general. These people, I mean, they go in for the jugular. They go in to destroy you. And of course, everyone involved in this conspiracy, no one's been held to account. They get away with it. The communists get away with it. That's why they keep unleashing these attacks. It says here, it wasn't Susan Rice. This is the conclusion of Lee Smith. Listen to this. It wasn't Susan Rice or John Brennan or James Comey who made the ultimate decision to turn U.S. intelligence services on the Trump campaign and gave the order to target the incoming president. And it wasn't the deep state that leaked to the press that it's determined to finish what it started January 5th, 2017. It's time we turned to face our problem. You see, all what he's saying there at his conclusion is that all roads lead to Barack Hussein Obama. Not too many people were able or willing to say that back in 2013 when this little booklet first appeared. I should have brought the original booklet. I found it on my shelf yesterday. But this has grown and expanded over the years. We've added more information. But the first edition of America Under Attack, that appeared in April of 2013. And as I say, a lot of people were a little bit too scared to say anything bad about the dear leader. But more and more, you see people speaking out, even those two left-wing journalists in that tablet interview. The author of Rising Star and then the other essay writer. Both of them exposing the dear leader as a fraud. And here Lee Smith having quite a lot to say about the January 5, 2017 conspiracy. I won't tell you, I've done a fair bit of reading as it is already, but one of my assistants pulled together quite a few quotes from America Under Attack, and just seeing how closely they lined up, not in a plagiarizing kind of way, but just seeing how some of the content just matches or parallels what Lee Smith has in his essay from this week. This is what I've been saying the last couple of programs. Even though they've got control of all of these levers of power in D.C., in education, academia, in Hollywood, the regime media, the legacy media, all of them, the corporate world, look at how many companies have gone woke to the extent that they're destroying their bottom line. They have control over all of these sectors of society. And yet still, as we bring out in America Under Attack, still God is, he is exposing them. He's exposing them. And even the Jack Smith indictment, I mentioned the very first day that came out, or the day after, I guess it was, that may very well backfire just because of the discovery process and the subpoena power that Trump's attorneys have. You see the fighting going on even as we speak. Jack Smith just furious that Donald Trump would say, if you come after me, I'm going to go after you. Well, we can't have any language like that. That's dangerous, Judge. So we need some kind of a gag order. We need some kind of seal on the discovery so that Trump doesn't just take it and show the world. They silenced him. They silenced him after the election steal, and they want to silence him again. They don't want him to have a voice. They can say whatever they want. Rick Wilson can say what he wants about Trump in the most vile, venomous, hateful ways. Trump says, if you come after me, I'm going after you. Their heads explode. They don't want any voice from the opposition. And meanwhile, they can say the most vile and hateful things you could ever imagine anyone saying. I gave you this quote yesterday from Victor Davis Hanson, the remaking of America. He said, we are in the midst of one of the most radical revolutions in American history. Every aspect of American life and culture is under assault, including the very processes by which we govern ourselves and the manner in which we live. He says the revolution began under the Obama administration. He gets it too. So does Lee Smith. They're missing a few key details here and there. But they're more and more commentators like this, they're seeing the big picture now. They're seeing what's happening. The revolution began under the Obama administration that sought to divide Americans into oppressed and oppressors. The revolution was boosted by fanatic opposition to the presidency of Donald Trump. I played you those clips yesterday. The montage of the deranged as they go on and on, comparing Trump to Hitler, comparing Trump to Osama bin Laden. The fanatic opposition to Donald Trump. And the result is an America that is unrecognizable from what it was a mere decade ago. Mr. Armstrong in the United States and Britain in Prophecy, he talked about how that the higher up you go in power and prosperity, prestige, the harder the fall is going to be. Look at the cycle of history. Look at what's happened to great nations in the past, to the Roman Empire, to the Greco-Macedonian Empire, even to the British Empire. How much longer? America is the single greatest superpower in world history. How much longer? When you look at what's happened in the last 10 years, and of course, Herbert Armstrong in the U.S. and Britain and Prophecy talks about the many curses that are setting in our country. Isaiah 1 speaks of the sickness that's there from head to toe. And God says he's going to withdraw the blessings that we've enjoyed for generations, for centuries even, because of sin, because of our sins. Top to bottom, there's plenty of it, okay, and we cover it on this show. There's plenty of it in D.C. at the head, but there's plenty of it in the rest of the nation as well. We got to be honest. It's all over. The sickness is through and through. There's no soundness in it, the prophet Isaiah said. The U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, that would be another outstanding read. In fact, a great one to put together with America Under Attack. I don't have it up here. But we offer our material without cost, without obligation. The 800 number again, 1-866-930-3024. And don't forget about our website as well, thetrumpet.com. You can get to most of our literature freely at the Trumpet website as well. That's thetrumpet.com. But if you'd like a hard copy, again, that 800 number is one that you should call. That last bit, again, from Victor Davis Hanson. He says, and the result is an America that is unrecognizable from what it was a mere decade ago. Before that, he writes, the revolution was boosted by fanatic opposition to the presidency of Donald Trump. And Trump, to his credit, I mean, he sees the fanatical side of this movement, this insurrection, this communist infiltration. This is what he said at a recent campaign stop, clip one.
Deranged Jack Smith. He's a deranged human being. You take a look at that face, you say, that guy is a sick man. There's something wrong with him. Somebody said, why don't you be nice to him? I said, yeah, wouldn't matter. Wouldn't matter. This guy's a maniac. They gave me a maniac.
See, this is what they hate, is that he pushes back. Well, maybe you should be nice to him. I mean, he's filed these indictments against you. It wouldn't matter. He understands something about their deranged thinking. He sees how much they hate him. He sees this fanatic opposition to his presidency. And so he calls it for what it is. Kim Strassel at the Wall Street Journal last week, she talked about just how many times, you know, you're seeing the word unprecedented in some of the political commentary. Things that have just never happened. Unprecedented. She says, here we go again with special counsel Jack Smith's unprecedented indictment of a politician for engaging in a conspiracy to defraud the United States. She says, be prepared for this new and startlingly elastic precedent to ensnare plenty of others. I mean, you've opened the floodgates now to all kinds of new litigious efforts to destroy opponents. On new legal theory. That's the biggest problem with Mr. Smith's latest broadside against Donald Trump. On top of its untested legal theories and evidence of a Justice Department double standard, doesn't matter. You see, they can take a legal theory. They can take an old statute that's been on the books for hundreds of years, blow the dust off of it, and say, "Hey, let's get Trump. Hey, let's get Flynn." Logan Act? You betcha. Espionage Act? You got it. says the press is rooting for the special counsel to go after Republican lawmakers who, on the basis of Mr. Trump's claims, objected to slates of electors on January 6th. She then says, you know, and we made this point a few days ago, are they going to go after all the Democrats who contested election results, who objected to the slates of electors? Smith fans will say this is a special case, the big lie, a one-time necessity for justice. Yet once a bar is lowered, it will be lowered further. Remember when impeachments, special committees, the stripping of committee assignments, and contempt citations were rare? Well, they are. They're still rare when they're spearheaded by a Republican-led effort. Where are the impeachment, the articles of impeachment for what the Biden crime family has been getting away with? Taking bribes, selling out the United States of America, and they want to get Trump on moving boxes. It's laughable on the one hand, and yet so serious too, because you see, it's like Victor Davis Hanson says, it's a nation you can hardly recognize today. The Wall Street Journal, it says Jack Smith, it just talks a little bit about how this guy, I mean, he swings for the fences, and sometimes he'll get smacked down by the Supreme Court 9-0 because he's such an activist. He's not even a real prosecutor. He's just a left-wing hack activist. Okay, he has the so-called credentials to go after Trump, but this is a hitman, and he's gotten hit back quite a few times over the years. Jack Smith, the special counsel who brought historic back-to-back indictments of a former president, has developed a reputation as an aggressive prosecutor known for trying high-stakes, politically explosive cases, but he hasn't always prevailed. He got smacked down pretty good yesterday by that judge in the Florida case. And then pressure is going to be mounting on the judge in D.C. to recuse herself because of all the dealings she's had and the ties she's had to Obama and to Hunter. Hopefully the attorneys will show some courage and come out with some aggression. Smith led the Justice Department's public corruption unit more than a decade ago when it brought several cases against lawmakers and politicians that legal experts say were based on far-reaching interpretations of federal law that sometimes backfired before juries and courts. It's interesting, just when you listen to Donald Trump, whether he talks about, you know, how crazy Jack Smith looks, or how one more indictment and he's pretty much got the primary wrapped up. I mean, Trump speaks like he's not really that fearful of what these communist actors are doing. This is clip 7.
Every time they file an indictment, we go way up in the polls. We need one more indictment to close out this election. One more indictment, and this election is closed out. Nobody has even a chance.
One more indictment. Sam sends me polls from time to time. Chris Christie sitting at 0%, trying to get up to 1%. And yet I can't go. There's not a morning that goes by when I get the Grabian audio clip list email blast where there's like 4 or 5 Chris Christie clips. I mean, the regime media love him. They love him because he comes on and trashes Trump. But look at the polls. Trump sitting at 58%, DeSantis at 9. The unknowns in Arizona, at least, 9 as well. Everybody else hovering at 3, 4, 5%. And then there's Trump welcoming one more indictment. I think if one more comes, that pretty much seals the deal for me. No one else is even close, and he's right. He's the one that they want to censor, though. He's the one that they want to imprison. And Chris Christie gets all the airtime. It's unbelievable. And they all laugh and smile as if, yeah, this is legitimate news coverage. We're just reporters here trying to get you the truth. It's all propaganda through and through. Listen to Laura Ingraham last night as she talks about this unhinged radical left. She played some of the same clips we had together in that montage yesterday with these crazy Democrats and what they say about all things Trump. Clip 8.
These people are so bent in the head over Trump that they've become what they claim he is, unhinged and unable to see the damage they're doing to norms and democratic values. Now, in their relentless pursuit of Biden's chief antagonist, AG Merrick Garland and his prosecutorial hitman, Jack Smith, are doing more damage to America than any group of Capitol rioters ever could.
She's right. I mean, she comes from the Rhino Network, but on that point, she's right. This is worse, so much worse than January 6th. And that was a fake insurrection, if ever there was one anyway. Look at what they're getting away with. And yet, Trump almost welcomes it. This is from Axios. Interesting comment here. This is left wing. The public's attention to former President Trump's legal drama has declined with each subsequent indictment. And you know, we've covered on the show, you know how they've timed every indictment to try to cover up, to drown out the noise on the Biden family corruption, and certainly on any connection that Obama had to it. That's definitely not going to get coverage. But it says here, why it matters, despite the unprecedented criminal charges against the former president, the shock is starting to wear off. People are getting a little bored with this. Even Trump seems like he's kind of bored with it, laughing it off, saying, I think one more. If I get four, I think I'm in. It is a big joke in many ways. It's very serious at the same time. But evidently, people are losing interest in these communist tactics. I saw one, it was on a Fox News focus group, and the guy on there, he's hooked up on Zoom, and he voted for Biden 2.5 years ago. He says, this time around, I'm not voting for Biden. I think he's done a bad job. The border's wide open. And there's a Democrat talking about the wide open southern border. There's actually Democrats who care about that. He says he's voting for someone else. I heard another call in on a radio program saying someone who's never, ever voted. They just don't get involved in politics. He told his friend, this next time, I'm voting Trump. This is speaking of commentary coming from the left. This is from The Bulwark regarding Hunter Biden. This author says, it's time to get nervous about Hunter Biden. It's tempting to try to dismiss or ignore it all. The constant Biden and son and Biden crime family emails, the intrusive attempted shaming over the seventh grandchild, the drug addiction, the unpaid taxes, the illegal gun, the investigation by a prosecutor who is named by Donald Trump, the plea deal that's now on hold. This is left wing, The Bulwark. It says, I've changed my mind about how to handle the Hunter Biden problem. Denial, dismissal, paternal indulgence, and legalistic analyses aren't going to cut it in an election like the one we're facing in 2024. Democrats, the president, and anyone who cares about the survival of democracy should fear any factor that could tip the balance the wrong way, whether it's a third party or a troubled family member in the crosshairs of the House GOP and the MAGA movement. I mean, this show, they covered all this up last election cycle. So they're not going to be able to do that this time. I mean, it's already out there. They unleashed the COVID attack. That was the pretext they needed to mail out the ballots, 100 million of them. So you begin to go through all that, and then now we're to the point of indictments, four of them, at least there will be before it's all said and done. They want to send him off to prison. They hope he's in prison for life. You look at all these things and think, okay, so Obama did have his lunch with Biden in June, but how many more options do they have? Again, I'm sure there's things I'm unaware of. I'm not a radical left-wing communist. I'm not in those discussions with the dear leader. Perhaps the dear leader is out there saying, I've got this. We're going to pull it off again. We've got another strategy for the steal. But we're to the point now where the American public is just tuning out indictments of a former U.S. president. That's according to Axios. What else do they have up their sleeve? Who knows? I'm sure it'll be something deranged and demonic. But it seems like they've just about exhausted their supply of evil tricks. You see how big of a deal this was. I mean, The Bulwark is saying, look, Hunter's a big deal. We can't just dismiss this. We can't just pretend that it's not happening. But see, that's what they did in 2020, and they got away with it. The rhinos let him get away with it. Bill Barr covered up the laptop. The Democrats, they censored anyone who talked about it. They censored anyone after the election who talked about the election steal. They kicked Donald Trump off of Twitter while he was president of the United States. I was looking through some of my notes from a 2021 show earlier today. And it's amazing how many world leaders were really upset about that. They were saying things like, look, I don't like Donald Trump, but you can't just kick the president of the United States off of Twitter. Not if you're the United States of America. Not if you're in the land of the First Amendment. You can't just blot him out. They did. They sure did. What does that tell you about the power? You remember all the statements after they faked the insurrection, then Michelle Obama, she got on the phone with Zuckerberg, all the social media people, and then the social media giants, they took action against the president of the United States because, well, Michelle Obama, the Obamas gave them their marching orders, and they marched. They marched. They definitely did. Tells you something about the power that the Obamas had, the power that they had even 4 years into the Trump presidency. And then you look at what's happening today. You have to wonder, given all the pay-to-play schemes that were going on during the Obama first term and second term, you have to wonder if that factored in. Besides the fact that Joe Biden was the perfect puppet. He had worked for Barack Obama for 8 years, so he's submissive to the dear leader. But the pay-to-play scheme as well. I mean, to keep all of that in operation and, of course, to keep the cover-up going, that's beginning to unravel now. But put Biden back in there, even if he's old and senile and can hardly give a coherent speech. Just put him in there. And they did. It's surprising to me that he's actually still supposedly going to run for a second term. It's hard for me to believe that they've kept him that long. Okay, let him finish his 4 years, but we've got to move in the direction of someone else. But look, Obama and Biden, the Biden crime family and Obama allowing it all to go on. You just have to wonder how many of them were in on the take. We're receiving millions and millions and millions of dollars. Barack Obama's nearly a billionaire now. He's nearly a billionaire. I keep getting alerts from the New York Times about Clarence Thomas's RV. He takes an RV around the country, and the New York Times is very concerned about the friend or the donor that helped him get a favorable loan or something. I mean, these people, they take money from the CCP. They take money from lobbyists at the snap of a finger. And then they go after Clarence Thomas because he likes to go camping in an RV that tens of thousands of Americans have. They go after him because he's the enemy. You see, he can't enjoy perks. Somebody that's assisted, I don't even know anything about the story. I'm not even sure it's a perk. But somebody that assisted Donald Trump, who got a perk, who got free rent, let's say, and he didn't report it on his taxes, I mean, you'll go to jail for that. But Hunter, I mean, you set up shell companies all over the world. You hide the money. None of it gets taxed. No big deal. Little slap on the wrist. Two misdemeanors and you're out the door. Really a demonic system. This individual's changed his mind. We better not just act like Hunter is not a story. This could be a problem for us coming into the next presidential run. Listen to this. Fox News reported on the networks. Devin Archer came out. This was just last week, if you can believe it. Seems like it was years ago now because the regime covers it up. If not for Tucker, I mean, we wouldn't even know about it. And then the House members, they're on vacation. There's a few of them. Jim Comer's making the rounds. Okay. So Devin Archer, he gives the testimony before the House. Then he gives the sit down with Tucker a couple days later. And he basically says, hey, the big guy was in on it. He was part of the business. He wrote me a fine letter. Devin Archer said, yeah, he wrote me. Tucker showed it to him. He knew about the business associates. He knew he was there in the meetings. He, and all through it, he lied. All through it, he lied. That one clip where he talks about Ukraine, this is, it's a little off topic here, but it ties in with respect to lying. This was Joe Biden in 2020 talking about Trump, talking about Trump working side deals in, of all places, if you can believe it, Ukraine. That's right, clip four.
It's been alleged that the allies of Giuliani were working in a side deal at the same time to make millions in Ukraine. Look, the abuse of power is a defining characteristic of Trump's presidency. He acts, he reacts, he twists, he turns according to what he thinks is good for him, for his ego, for personal politics, for campaign money.
It's especially rich, and really, more and more, you're seeing clips like this. So going forward, all you have to know, all you have to do to figure out what they're engaging in, what they're doing, is just listen to how they accuse their opponents. These people were making side deals in Ukraine. They got two $5 million payments, Hunter and Joe, from Burisma. And in return, Joe gave Burisma what they wanted, fired Shokin. And then the oligarchs in Ukraine, they get what they wanted, the $1 billion. Quid pro quo. Through and through, top to bottom. There he was in 2020. It's alleged now, I don't want to say it absolutely happened, but it's alleged that Trump, he's in it for the money. Trump's the potentially the only president in history who went into office and then left 4 years later worth a lot less than he had when going in. Not so for the dear leader. Certainly not for Joe Biden, a career-long politician. Just making, what, a few hundred thousand a year on a senator salary? But boy, he's got the tens of millions of dollars in properties all over the world. Devin Archer comes along, blows the whistle, and how does the regime media treat it? Play clip three.
It's nearly goose eggs with the exception of MSNBC, 3 hours and 45 minutes. Then we want to figure out the Sunday show coverage of the Devin Archer transcript. And here it is, Dana. Mm-hmm. Goose eggs across the board. 0 minutes of coverage on CBS, ABC, NBC, mm-hmm. or CNN.
Zero coverage. Hunter's best friend blowing the whistle on all of these shady dealings, the pay-to-play schemes, the bribery schemes, the fact that the big guy was, in fact, in on it. And they don't even report it. That said, despite all of this, this is from CNN, Donald Trump is not only in a historically strong position. It talks firstly in the opening paragraph about all the indictments, unprecedented, all these indictments and so on. Then it says this, Trump is not only in a historically strong position for a non-incumbent to win the Republican nomination, but he's in a better position to win the general election than at any point during the 2020 cycle and almost at any point during the 2016 cycle. How is this possible? That he's actually in a better position politically than he was in 2020 or 16? Three indictments, one more to come. Spying, lying, cheating, stealing. He's had to navigate his way through all of that from the opposing side. And yet here he is, sitting in a pretty good position, saying at an Alabama rally, yeah, bring on another indictment. I think that pretty much sealed the deal for me. Says, no one in Trump's current political position in the modern era has lost an open presidential primary that didn't feature an incumbent. He's pulling in more than 50% of support in the national primary polls, more than all his competitors combined, more than all of them. But hey, you got to get five Chris Christie clips in every morning on the email blast from Grabian. Now, it's not Grabian's fault. He's just collecting all these clips because, well, MSNBC and CNN and Fox and all of them have Christie on nonstop, polling at 1%. Says what should arguably be more amazing is that despite most Americans agreeing that Trump's two indictments thus far were warranted, he remains competitive in a potential rematch with President Obama. I'm making the same mistake KJP is making. President O'Biden. President Biden refers to a few polls. Listen to this, though. This has to be devastating news to the Joe Obama people. This is Peter Baker. He works at the New York Times. He's on with one of the talk shows, clip two.
But the one indicator that's not changed is his approval rating and, in fact, his competitive, status against Donald Trump if he's the Republican nominee. Our poll that was Siena College last week found that the president's still at that 39% approval rating. I think the average on 538 is around 41%. That's the lowest of any president at this stage going back through the history of polling, except for Jimmy Carter. That didn't work out well for him.
If you want to hear a left-wing commentator talk about your polling numbers, you don't want to hear polling numbers in the same sentence together with Jimmy Carter. Lower than anyone since Jimmy Carter. That's where Joe Biden is at the moment. People are waking up to what's happening, as I said at the top. They see what's going on. They see the corruption. They see how unjust all of these attacks on Trump are. And they see the dear leader. They see Biden as a puppet. In America Under Attack, I'll just conclude with a couple quotes from that. It says, Barack Obama spent his 8 years as president doing exactly the opposite of what he told Mr. Trump, advancing his agenda to weaken those democratic institutions and traditions in pursuit of his supreme stated goal of fundamentally transform the United States of America. So he told Trump, look, we're going to make this a peaceful transition. I'm here to help you. He lied. After leaving office, Mr. Obama continued to pursue this goal. He spearheaded the effort to harm Donald Trump's Make America Great Again agenda, an effort that included illegally spying on him and impeaching him twice. He directed the radical left's treasonous battle to prevent Mr. Trump from being reelected at all costs. He was leading the greatest, most extensive voter fraud organization in history. He was behind all that. That's how Joe Biden could get up there and confidently say, look, we're gonna pull this off. And then Axios and all the regime media getting up there saying, preparing the American public. Now, just so that you know, this is a different time we're in. It's not going to be election day. It's going to be election week. And furthermore, they added this incredible detail. They said there may well be a red wave at the start on election day. But just give it some time, and the blue wave will catch up. How did they know? They knew because they were all in on the steal. And Time Magazine was happy to report on that, giving the facts and figures of it all after the fact, bragging about it. That's right. It says, but this vast network of lies, corruption, and lawlessness all points back to one man. You see, just like Lee Smith says in his piece, You don't want to get lost in deep state swamp and all of the gray areas. Rhinos this, you know, the fact that they're all part of the Uniparty. I mean, all that's true. But this attack, this transformation, Victor Davis Hanson saying the country's nothing like it was even 10 years ago. This radical transformation, it all points back to one man, Barack Obama. He says here, as we will see, this epic scandal would not have taken place if not for Obama's leadership of the Democratic Party and the radical left. And there's proof that he not only was aware of the plot to pervert the 2020 election, but was directly or indirectly leading those pulling the strings. It says many have referred to this as a rolling coup, an ongoing insurgence against American constitutional government, and they are right. This coup was initiated by Barack Obama before he left office in 2017. All of that I just gave to you comes straight out of America Under Attack. Call our operators today and request your free copy. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us, td@thetrumpet.com. That's td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.